Now we'd like to extend a very warm welcome to all who have come out on this Monday night, the end of the month. We really do appreciate your presence tonight. I know that the world is well occupied tonight with all kinds of other things, but you couldn't be in a better place. And you couldn't focus on greater truth than what we have in this book called the Bible. And as we've just been singing, there is a voice that is calling to people, to individuals in this city and individuals in this meeting. And we trust that there will be a response from your heart tonight to receive the great provision of God's beloved Son and salvation through His blood. So we're glad that you've come. We remind you the meeting's continuing each night this week in the will of God at 7:30. And again, as we've said other nights, if this is your first time, and again, it seems that almost every night there are new ones along. We're very glad to see you. Trust you'll feel at home. If you have questions as to what is said in this next hour, just feel free to stop and ask us. We're certainly approachable. We don't use pressure, but we are certainly willing to sit down with an open Bible and seek to explain with the help of God what these words mean from God's own word. So we're glad you're here tonight and trust that God will bless His word. Now shall we ask His blessing upon His word? Let us pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach Thee tonight. We thank Thee for the truth of these hymns we've been able to sing. And thank Thee that Thou art still speaking to this world, that amidst all the voices that we hear in the course of a day, that there is a voice that speaks loud and clear. It's the voice of truth. It's the voice of life. It's the voice of salvation. And we're thankful for the voice which we have heard in the gospel concerning Thy Son and concerning our need and concerning the great provision, salvation through His precious blood. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit who's in the world tonight. He's doing His sovereign work of conviction. And we would pray that His work would be unhindered in this meeting. That as we read Thy word, that He would be pleased and would be free and would move in power to take Thy word and apply it personally to the hearts and minds and souls and consciences of people who are sitting in this meeting. We thank Thee, our Father, for His great work in bringing conviction, and then in the wondrous transaction of revealing Thy Son to guilty souls. We thank Thee that there's many in the meeting tonight that can look back to that happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. We're thankful that we are ever brought to hear the gospel. We're thankful, Father, that amidst our darkness, we came into the light of the revelation of Thy word. And we would pray tonight that this blessing, this assurance, this salvation that is found in Thy Son would become a reality in the life of others here. We're thankful for speaking in the past, for saving souls in this city. And we thank Thee for this time of visitation and pray that we might speak tonight in the fear of God. We'd like to understand, our Father, the reality of these words. And we'd like to understand that it could well be that we're speaking to individuals for the very last time. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. And so we pray that we might speak and we might listen in the fear of God with a sense of eternity, and that this meeting will bring honor and glory to Thy precious name. And so receive thanks for the Savior and for Thy word now in our Savior's precious name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read in Hebrews chapter 3 tonight. Hebrews chapter 3 is near the end of the Bible. And we'll read at verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Down to verse 15. While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now that's all I'd like to read tonight. I'd like to speak of these 11 words that we have read twice in the Bible. The words that are found in these two verses in Hebrews chapter 3, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, when we come to this book called the Bible, we're made to understand that every single word in this book is pure. And by that, when God speaks of the fact that his word is pure, it's the sense of the truth that it's been purified. God has not placed words into his volume, into his revealed mind and will, without these words reflecting upon his own character. There's nothing extra here. There's nothing taken away. This book that we have before us is God's revealed mind and will for us today. And so if something is found on the page of this word, we can lay hold upon it because it's true. But you know, when something is said twice in God's word, we understand that it must have special significance. And you know that when something is mentioned three times in the Bible, it's an indication that God would have us look at it with great care. Now, we only read these 11 words twice. But if you go back to Psalm 95, you'll understand that those same 11 words are found in that psalm. Three times over, in this book called the Bible, God says to us today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now I hope those three words will get a hold of you tonight by the Spirit of God. Because those 11 words have three very, very important truths for us. Today indicates that God has specified a time. And I can tell you without any hesitation that until you agree with God as to the time, you'll never be saved. The devil always says tomorrow. Sinners always, for the most part in their life, say tomorrow, some other time. But when a man or a woman comes to the place where they agree with God as to the specified time, which is today, when sinners come to that place, they're not far from salvation. God has specified a time. Number two, these 11 words bring before us that there is a voice to be regarded. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Tell me, who are you listening to anyway? Young people in this meeting have been in school, and so they've heard the voice of the teacher, or the principal, or perhaps a number of teachers. And those individuals speak with authority, and rightly so. Some are moving in the business world, and a lot of people spend more time on the phone. You see them in their cars and going down the road. They're listening to voices. But you see, tonight in this book called the Bible, God has specified a voice that you can't afford to miss. And friend, if you disregard every single voice in this world, you must not disregard this one. Today, if you will hear his voice. And that's why when you come to a gospel meeting and as we open up God's word, you are hearing his voice. Because you see, what we have in this book are truth, is truth and truths that will exist forever. God is speaking. God is singling people out. God is making his word personal. And already in these meetings there have been people that have come, and as they hear the word of God, or even as they look at this chart, they've understood, I'm on that road. And I'm heading for this destination. And they have heard the voice of God. I want to say that's a tremendous blessing. And yet there are people in these meetings, and you've sat in the very same, under the very same gospel preaching. Some of you have hardly missed a night. And you've heard the same words. But you come and go from these meetings absolutely unconcerned. You've heard the voice of two men from the East Coast, but you haven't heard his voice. a tragedy. Because, friend, when Dirksen and McElwain are gone, and when every other preacher is gone, and when every other Christian is gone, you will hear his voice, but it'll be too late. That's why he says today, if you will hear his voice, what's he say? Harden not your heart. And in those simple words, friend, there is a danger and there is an evil to be avoided. Because you see, when people hear the voice of the Son of God, they must do something with that voice. It's always been that way. Wherever the gospel has gone, there are always results. Some people are careless and turn away and just treat it as so many nonsensical words. There are others that get kind of mad and angry, and they start grappling with the issues, and they come to a choice. There are others, and as they hear the voice of the Son of God and the voice of the gospel, the light of heaven shines upon them, and they understand, I'm on this road, but there's an open door, and God is inviting me. And based on what they hear from God's own word and the invitation, they respond. And they enter in. And they come into the joy and the blessing of their sins forgiven. That's what happened to me 23 years ago. I heard his voice. And I said, if he's calling me, I will receive him. Now we trust and pray that that will be the case tonight. Because you see, today is a specified time. What makes today so special in God's mind? When God says today, he wants you to understand that this is a day, this is a time of obligation. Do you know that since last night at this time, wherever you were in this city, every single one of us is 24 hours closer to this reality called death? That's right. Somewhere on the narrow roads, we're 24 hours near. Somewhere on the broad road, and tonight, you're one day closer to eternity than you were last night. We're not going to be here forever. And the sad thing is, friend, is that as people move down this road, they are close, getting closer and closer to judgment. And that's why God makes it very, very clear that as far as the ignorance of men, there was a time when God winked at it, when God was willing to overlook it because people were groping in the darkness and they didn't know it. But the Bible says, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that's why today is a day of obligation. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Oh, you say, I thought this was kind of an optional thing. Well, friend, it's true that you have a choice. But there has come a command from God in heaven. And he commands all men everywhere to turn from their sin and to turn to Christ. Because every single one of us is one day closer to eternity. We have one more day to repent of and one less day to repent in. Tell me, what if this was your last day? This is a time of obligation. But there's something else about this time specified being today that makes it so important. This is a day of opportunity. This is a time when God is inviting in grace. This is a time when people are able to hear the gospel and enter into the blessing. This is a time when people have health and strength and soundness of mind and they have a Bible in their hands. And yet, sad to say, we while away and we disregard this wonderful day of opportunity. I was struck just a while back. A friend of mine had gone over to Russia to help in the giving out of Bibles. And one day he came across, he knocked at the door and They were giving out Bibles wholesale, as many of us know. And there was a woman that opened up the door. And he said in his broken Russian, he says, "Now I have a gift for you. It's a copy of the Bible." And the woman broke into tears. And he didn't know if he had said something wrong. And so he finally brought the interpreter in. And he could hardly believe his ears, what he heard. Because you see, this woman who very, very thankfully received this copy of the Bible from him told him that a number of weeks before she had got the news that Bibles were being distributed in a city a number of miles away, and she had never had a Bible. And so she left her home, and I don't know if she took the bus or the train, and she went to this city, and she walked for 4 days throughout that city, hoping that she'd find somebody that was giving out free Bibles. And she said, at the end of 4 days, she said, "I hadn't found anybody that was giving out free Bibles." She said, "I had to go home. But," she says, "now you have come to give me what I so desperately and so greatly desire." And yet, isn't it tragic that here in Vancouver, we have Bibles that aren't read? When was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you got down and you says, "Oh God, speak to me"? And I'm afraid there's likely some here and you're not even interested in hearing God's voice. And yet in this wonderful day of grace, in this day of opportunity when God has come near and is extending this gift of salvation, the greatest opportunity that could ever be given is yours. And yet sinners are coming and going, and they're more concerned with everything else that's temporary than in the salvation of their soul. What makes this time call today so important? It's a limited time. And by that I simply mean that, friend, none of us have any guarantee of tomorrow. None of us have any knowledge as to how long our journey is going to be. None of us know, friend, what the next step will bring. Oh, we have our plans made. We have our day planners and our week planners. You see all the men going around. Proper thing. But I wonder, have you ever taken a long look and have you ever settled a great issue? Because today is not going to always be there. One of these days we'll breathe our last. I want to say for many of us, it's going to be far sooner than what we anticipate. Like a dear girl in St. John's by the name of Mary Griffin. Mary was an outstanding student at the university there, and I say that really with regard to a number of things. She was not only a good academic student, but she was a very, very brave soul. Because from, I think, her public school days, she had the disease of cystic fibrosis. And she had spent literally weeks and months in the hospital. It set her behind, but that girl vowed to go on. She finally made high school, graduation. And she told people in her little outport of Ship Harbor, she says, "I'm going to Memorial to get a degree." And they thought, boy, it's impossible. But she vowed to do it. And so she got into the city there and got an apartment and started classes, and then she had to go back to the hospital and back and forth and back and forth. And it took her more than the usual time, but the day finally came just a couple of years ago when Mary Griffin was going to receive her degree, and her plans were all set for graduate school that same fall. The daily paper in St. John's, the Evening Telegram, ran a full-page spread, cover story, on Mary Griffin. And you know, graduation day came. That very, very brave girl came across the stage, and amidst all the acclaim and the large crowd that was gathered there to watch, she received her degree, and she walked down, took her place with the other students. You know, as I read that newspaper article, I thought, you know, that girl has got a lot of courage. And she liked to go places. But you know, the strange thing of that story is that the very day that Mary Griffin got her degree, she got into a car with a number of others to go down and have a little bit of a party. And as they were going down in the right lane, minding, you know, driving the speed limits, everything was being done properly, all of a sudden, from a side street, a vehicle approached. And before any of those drivers could do anything, there had been a collision, and the girl that had just received her degree was in eternity. And you know, the Evening Telegram had to write a very, very sad note the next day to indicate that the girl who had received full page coverage the day before was now gone. Tragic, isn't it? And none of us know who of us will be next. Do you understand, friend? That's why God says today. Oh, I know right now that there are thoughts here, and you're saying, well, that won't happen to me. Don't worry about me. I'm only young. She was only young. And friend, that's why God says today, not tomorrow. Because if tomorrow comes and you're in eternity, you'll be lost forever if you're in your sins. Why is today so important? Because, friend, this is a day of promise. Do you know that when God says, come today, He always keeps His appointments. He never turns anybody aside. God never rearranges His schedule. God never has to put the shingle out and say, I'll be back in 10 minutes. When God's arms are outstretched and He says, come now and let us reason together, God means it. And when a person comes to that place where they agree with God and they say, it's now or never, they'll find that this day is a day of promise, and they'll be met by the Savior with outstretched arms. Tell me, friend, what are you going to do with this day? Because you see, there is a voice to be regarded. What kind of a voice is the voice of God? This voice is a voice of authority. In fact, when the Lord Jesus was here on the earth, almost 2,000 years ago, people were amazed by His words. They were amazed, number one, by how gracious they were. There were other teachers and scribes and Pharisees, religious men, and they had put together a whole system of hard sayings. They cut things very fine. They stood there and they pointed the finger. And people were cut in shreds. And yet, when this person called Jesus began to speak to people, they were amazed at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. He loved to have young people in His arms. He said, allow the little children to come to Me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't afraid to go to the homes of down and outers, men and women whose lives have been ruined and wrecked. He didn't turn aside from sitting down on the well side to speak to a woman whose life had been just a terrible, immoral wreck. 5 husbands in her past, living with another one. Can you imagine the heartache of that poor soul? And yet here's the Lord Jesus, and He sat on that well side just to meet her. And He didn't point His finger at her, but He offered her living water. Oh, look, friends. This Savior that we're telling you of tonight, He's full of grace and truth. But they marveled that He spoke with authority. He said words that were words of truth. He never had to hesitate. He never had to kind of beat around the bush. He never had to try and, you know, ram things into position because they just didn't quite fit. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, He spoke truth with authority. And that's why as we open up this book and we read His words, we can speak with authority. And tonight, friend, the voice that is calling to you is a voice of authority. And He's saying, turn from your course.
enter in?
Because you see, the course you're on tonight in your sins is the wrong course. I remember when my oldest boy, he must have been about 3 at the time. He had just got a tricycle, and our driveway kind of sloped down to the road. And so, of course, you guessed it, he gets on his tricycle and just lets her go. So I was out in the yard one day, and Kevin was going back and forth, and all of a sudden I saw him going down the driveway or the sidewalk on his tricycle, and there's a car coming. Now, he didn't really see the car. He wasn't even concerned about the car, but I saw it. Now, tell me, what do you think I did? Do you think I went over to him and I said, no, Kevin, there's a car coming, and I think we should just talk it over a little bit? Or do you think I just kind of stood there and watched to see what was going to happen? Well, you guessed it, don't you? I want to say, with the full authority that a father could muster, I yelled as loud as I could, "Kevin, stop. There's a car coming." Now tell me, why did I speak with authority? Because I loved him. I could see the danger. I could see that he was on a collision course. He's my son. I don't want it to happen. And tonight there's a voice of authority that has come from heaven. And as God has tracked your course, and friend, he has followed your course, and he knows that you're in a meeting tonight. He's been calling you. And he calls you with authority that you might turn, because friend, you're on a collision course with hell. You're on the wrong course tonight if you're not saved. And with all the authority of heaven, this voice calls you to turn in repentance. Ah, but it's a voice of love tonight. And when we think of his words, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." When he said through the Old Testament scriptures, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God and there's none else." When he said in Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." These are words of love. These are words, friend, that are inviting you to the greatest blessing. He's not inviting you to a funeral. He's inviting you to a banquet. And the wonder of it is that he wants you to be there. And he wants you to be in heaven forever. That's why he speaks with words of love. There was a man one time. His son had decided to go his own way. A rebel. Left home. Broke his father's heart. Never wrote. Cut all traces. And that father was so broken that he says, "I've got to go find my boy." And so finally, after all other agencies had failed, he said, "I'm going to go myself." And for months, that father crisscrossed the land looking for his boy. One day he was crossing a railway platform, and a discount beggar stepped up to him and he said, "Will you give me a dime?" And the man was just ready to pull out a dime or a quarter out of his pocket when he recognized something in that voice. And he looked at that man's face closely. And as soon as he understood who it was, he put his arms around that man and he says, "My son, I found you at last." Oh, I want to say tonight, friend, that sin has taken you a lot further down the road than what you ever thought you'd go. And sin has cost you a lot more than what you ever figured on paying. And that sin of yours has kept you in the far country a lot longer than what you ever imagined. But there is one who is calling you tonight with a voice of love. That's why he's brought you to this meeting. Because he wants you to hear his voice of love and salvation. There is salvation found in him. And that's why he's calling to you. But as I sit down, remember what these 11 words say today. If you will hear his voice,
harden not your heart.
There are two phrases in the Bible that have to do with hardening. One is hardening your neck. He that being often reproved and hardens his neck, Proverbs says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know what that means? It means that as a person's going along the road and somebody calls, if you got a hard neck, you don't turn. You just keep on going. I'm not going to turn around. I'm going my way. And there's a lot of people like that. God calls, but their necks are hard. They just keep on going. But this verse says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. And again, that deals with our response. Now understand this, friend, as I sit down, God is not asking you to give him your heart. Because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, so is mine. Salvation is not me giving God anything. I'm bankrupt. I'm lost. I'm guilty. I need a Savior. I have nothing to give God, and neither do you. But what God is looking for is a response from the heart. It's not just a matter of signing a little pledge and saying, well, I'm for Jesus. Not just a matter of saying, well, you know, good preaching and I agree with it. But what God is looking for is a deep-seated response from our innermost being, where we understand and we agree with God without any hesitation. Oh God, I'm lost. Oh God, I'm guilty. And understanding the work of the Savior accomplished at the cross, by faith we will receive him. That's why God says, don't harden your hearts. And I'm awfully afraid that in these meetings, as this series will come to a close one of these days, there will be people, and you'll make a decision, not right now. You'll harden your heart. I trust God won't leave you that way. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Read tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And I'm certainly glad he does. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods which falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. What we have in these few words that we have read, these few verses, is three lost things. A lost sheep, a lost piece of silver, and a lost son. And really, it's only those three lost things there was rejoicing over. And what I want to try to bring to your attention tonight simply is this, that God is looking for lost souls. And until a person begins to realize, I'm lost, there is absolutely nothing God can do for them. What he's trying to show here in these few verses, that there is people that are self-righteous and they think that they don't need salvation. God can do nothing for them. In the first case, we have the lost sheep. And I know that Mr. Sankey knew, he meant well, when he sang that hymn at the end of Mr. Moody's preaching, when Mr. Moody preached about the lost sheep, and he said to Mr. Sankey, can you sing a hymn tonight that will go along with what I'm preaching? And he put a tune to this, that hymn that sung now, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. Now I wouldn't make a man an offender for a word, but that's really not true. There wasn't 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. The 99 were in the wilderness. There was only one that was brought into the fold, and that was the lost one. And what God is looking for today is people that recognize their lostness, about their lostness from God. Because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, you'll remember. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he was lost to God. In fact, he tried to hide himself from the God amongst the trees of the garden. And as soon as they sinned in the Garden of Eden back 6,000 years ago, you know the story well, how that when they sinned, they were lost to God. The link of communion between heaven and earth was severed. And now God could not have fellowship with them. And that's why God in his marvelous distinguishing grace comes into the world and comes for those who are lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost, the Bible tells us. And so what we have here is three lost things. I want to look at it again in this way. First of all, we have a lost sheep. Then we have a hidden silver. And then we have a welcome son. And I want to tell you tonight that every person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is welcomed by the Father, the God of heaven. God is well pleased with anyone that's willing to take the lost condition and come to him for salvation, and he'll save them. Because of what? Because he has provided a way of salvation whereby his banished be not expelled from him. Now how can he do that and be on a righteous ground in doing so? Because God has to be righteous. Now how can he take an unrighteous person to heaven? How can he clear them? How can he justify them? And one as well said, how can a man be justified with God? It's a great question. How can it be done? Well, then we go back again to Genesis chapter 3 and 4, and we find that God said to man in chapter 2, he says, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so, it's not hard to see that what God says is the consequences for sin is death. Now, of course, there's three aspects of death. There's a death, this death that's spoken of here, the physical death. But there's spiritual death here. All these people that are on this Broadway are spiritually dead. That's why we need to have new birth. That's why we need to be born again. And when a person comes to Christ for salvation and starts in this way, they have eternal life. But this way, spiritually dead. That's why they can keep on going from day to day with a real burning hell under their feet and the wrath of God hovering over their head like a glittering sword. And keep on going knowing that they're not saved. That's the reason for it. Because spiritually dead. So what they need is life eternal. And I want to say, as our brother has already said, that's why the sinner can't give anything to God. He wants to give the sinner something. He wants to give him eternal life. And then, until a person has that eternal life in their soul, knowing that they're going to heaven and everything is well for eternity, until that time, a person can't give anything to God. Of course, after they get saved, then he says, give me thy heart. So now we find here that this lost sheep, something happens. The good shepherd goes after the sheep that was lost. Who's the good shepherd? You know, we have here the three persons of the Godhead represented. First of all, we have the Lord Jesus as the Son. He's the shepherd going after the sheep that was lost. We have the Father that's welcoming the Son. But in between we have, illustrated too, is the work of the Spirit of God that brings people to the Father and to the Son. We used to always speak about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I used to have in my simple little mind as a boy, I used to think that God was up here, and then there was the Son, and then there was the Holy Spirit. But I found out from my Bible that they are equal. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but each one of them have a different work to do. You see, God himself, he gave his Son. And the Holy Spirit of God, he's come into the world to bring people to the Son. So all three is represented, and all three is included in your salvation and mine. What a salvation it is. Oh my friend, I wish I could tell you about it tonight in a way I would like to. That the Father in heaven was willing to give his blessed Son into this poor godless world of sinners lost and send him to the cross. What for? To become a substitute for sin. It meant he had to die. It meant he had to be hung up in the middle of on that cross up there between two thieves as if he was the worst one of the three and in between his own heaven and his own earth as if he was fit for neither one. Why did God do it? Because he loved us. Can you believe it? I said the other night, I'll say again tonight, if it wasn't in that book, I wouldn't believe it. Because I've got two sons myself, and I wouldn't give either one of them for anybody. Yet God only had one, and he gave that son to die for Robert McElwain. I don't understand it. I can't take it in really, but I do believe it from the bottom of my heart, because it's here found in the book. And it's because he loved me. Oh, how he loves. What a Savior we've found. And the shepherd goes out to find the sheep that was lost. And he found it. And when he found it, he kicked it all the way home. No, he did nothing of the kind. He put it on his shoulders. The place of strength. And he lands the sheep home. Away with this nonsense and this doctrine that people talk about being saved today and lost tomorrow. No, no. We have cost him too much. And he puts the sheep on his shoulders. Not just strung over one shoulder, but on his shoulders, the place of strength. And it proves to us over and over again just what he has said. My sheep are given eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says they're in my hand, and my hand's in God's hand. Double security. I am glad of that, because if God gave me the keeping of my soul, I would have lost it long ago. But he doesn't give me the keeping of it, and I'm thankful he doesn't. Peter tells us we're kept by the power of God. And let me say to you tonight, if what you profess to have so many years ago, if it hasn't kept you, there's one of two things. Either you've got away from God, or you never were one of God's to begin with. And the latter is most likely. So what we're saying here tonight is this. The shepherd goes after the sheep that's lost, and he found it, and he brings it home. Now what happens? Calls in the friends and neighbors, and he says there's more rejoicing over that lost sheep than all the 99 still in the wilderness. What's he trying to tell us? He's just telling us this. This world is full of people, religious people, that think all is well because they're religious, or because they're doing good works, or because of something that they are doing, their prayers, their almsgiving, anything at all. And they're so self-righteous, they've got the cloak of self-righteousness around them, and they think, God can't send me to hell, because I'm a good person, I've been a good woman, I've been a good man, I've been a good mother or father, I've been a good, neighbor in the community. You know, we're having meetings down in Prince Edward Island one time. And Mr. Ramsey and myself, and there was a woman coming night after night for a whole week, and then she stopped. So we went to see. And we asked her why she wasn't coming. Is there something wrong? Well, she said to Mr. Ramsey, she said, you're up there every night saying, you must be born again, you must be born again, you must be born again. She says, I don't understand that kind of language. She says, I've been a good mother to my children. I've been a good wife to my husband. I've been a Sunday school teacher. And she said, I go to church every Sunday. And if that's not good enough, I don't know about this born again. Isn't that strange? When the Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. So here we have, you see, people all around us. If you were to go on up and down the streets of Vancouver tonight, you'd find all kinds of different ideas. One man went down the streets of New York. He came home and he wrote a tract, and the title of it was 100 Roads to Heaven. Now what did he mean by that? He meant simply that there was 100 different ways that people thought they were going to get to heaven, when all the time God has made it infinitely clear in his Bible that we're lost to God, and we need a Savior, we need a shepherd to find us. And this person finds, the Lord Jesus finds the sheep, he brings it home, and there's rejoicing. And there's rejoicing in heaven. There's more rejoicing over that one lost one than all the 99 that need no repentance. They don't need it? No, it's not they don't need it, but they feel they don't need it. They think they don't need it because they're good enough in themselves. My dear friend, I know this is not easy speaking. I know it's not easy preaching. I know it's not easy to take in. But we have to keep hammering at it night after night. We're lost to God. And we need a shepherd to find us. Thank God there was one that did come from heaven to die on the cross to find us. Now then, let's go to the next one. There's a woman, she's lost a piece of silver. She had 10, but she lost one. There's a few things about it. That lost piece of coin can't do anything at all to get back to its owner. And I want to say right now, you can do absolutely nothing to get back to your owner. Nothing. Your owner, of course, is the God of heaven. You can't do anything to get back to him yourself. But when the Spirit of God that we find here represented in these verses, when he begins to deal with you, and I believe he's dealing with people in this meeting tonight, and listen, that's your time to incline your ear, as we've already... And if you will hear his voice, he'll bring you to Calvary. He'll show you that one died in your room instead and bore your punishment in his own body in the tree. That's his work. And it's represented here in this woman with his lost piece of coin. She seeks and she searches. She takes her broom and she's sweeping diligently. And of course it's causing the dust to stir. And when God comes into gospel meetings and people begin to realize they're sinners and they begin back over their life and they begin to realize, I've been a sinner. And all the old cobwebs begin to get unwound and get swept out of the place. And people begin to realize, yes, I have gone wrong. That's the work of the Spirit. You see, there can be two people sitting side by side in a gospel meeting. And one person is all concerned. That's not natural. That's the work of this one here, the Spirit of God. The other person hearing the very same thing, light as a butterfly. And they're thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow. Or they're thinking about what will happen next week. Or they're thinking about their holidays. Or they're thinking about something else. While the other person is concerned. What is it? It's the Spirit of God. That's your day of opportunity. And take care that you don't lose it or miss it. That's the time for you to incline your ear to it. To the Lord, to the Spirit of God. Because he wants to show you that you're a sinner. And he wants to bring you to Christ for salvation. And when she found it, she gathers her friends and neighbors. And she said, rejoice with me. I found the peace that was lost. I want to tell you right now. I know that the world thinks, oh, if you got saved, you would be such a you'd be miserable. You couldn't go here and you couldn't go there. And some of you young people especially, maybe Christians' children, and you're thinking, I'm just waiting until I get away from mother's apron strings. My, I'm glad to my God that he didn't let me get away. He saved me when I was 9, and I'm so thankful for it tonight. Because if I had to get away from my mother's apron strings and my father's strict care, God only knows where I'd be tonight. But thankful to God that the Spirit of God dealt with me when I was only 7, 8, 9 years of age. And he saved me by his grace. As I look back over the 60 years. Where is the time going? 60 years have come and gone since that moment when he saved my soul. And as I look back over that, there has been times I've disappointed him. And I think of the years the locusts have eaten and the cankerworm have devoured. But my friend, when I look at him, he's never disappointed me, not yet. And I know he never will. And some of these days he's coming to the air. And he's going to take me home to glory. And I'll be there forever. I wish you could understand what you're missing tonight. You've tried the world. Did it satisfy? I used to wonder, because I was saved young. I never got into the pleasures and treasures of this poor, godless world. And I used to wonder what I'd missed. But when I was flying for a certain company in the States, millionaires, and sometimes it was the judges of the Supreme Court, and sometimes it was the doctors, and sometimes all together, and they'd be going to some place, wanting to get to a place to have a night's frivolity and fun. And they'd call me 3 o'clock in the morning, come and get us, we can't drive home. And when I'm bringing them home, they're all, you know what I mean.
And they called this a good time. And the next day you could hardly talk to them. Their heads as big as a bucket. And they say, that's fun, that's enjoyment. Oh, I want to tell you, you don't know what joy is if you're not saved tonight. A person saved by the grace of God. Listen, I can go home, put my head in a pillow. You see, all is well. And if I'm not awake in the morning, if I'm gone to eternity, it's heaven and home. Can you get anything better than that? And listen, all the 60 years since God has saved me has been nothing but blessing all the way. God has been good to me. He has indeed. And He has promised better on before. My friend in the meeting tonight, if you're not saved, you don't know what you're missing. Let's go to the son just for a minute. Time is gone. Here's the son's got away from home. Oh, the far-off cows have long horns, don't they? Far-away fields look so green, don't they? But the wine, when it comes to the end of it, it stings like an adder. And sin, sin, it only brings a man down and puts wrinkles in his brow. And sometimes we met up with people and they come to meetings sometimes and they're full of sin and their body's broken. And I had a brother-in-law, he died at 45. He drank himself to death. Yeah, we run into all kinds. But you know something? No matter how far down the scale of immorality an individual goes, there's always the Holy Spirit would bring that person to Christ and save him by the sovereign grace of God. What a Savior. You know, there's some, I'll not just mention who they are, but there's one religion I know of in the world today. They don't bother with the down and outs, and they don't bother with black people. And they don't bother with anybody that doesn't have a lot of money. It's one of the richest religions in the world right now. I'm not going to tell you what the name of it is. But I want to tell you the Lord Jesus, that's the kind that He went after. The poor fallen woman at the well that you're hearing about tonight. And He'll give them eternal life. God in His grace and mercy, He came to seek and save those that are lost. And this poor, godless fella, he gets away from home, he's thinking he's going to have a great time. And that's what I used to think when I was little. I thought, boy, when I get away from all this and all this restraint, I'm going to throw the reins on the neck of the devil, the horse, and drive to the devil. But I'm glad God didn't allow me. I'm glad God didn't allow me. Do you think I missed anything? Somebody's going like this. No. As I look around me and I see what's going on in the world, I didn't miss anything. Nothing but emptiness in this poor, godless world. It's having meetings in Charlottetown. Effie brought George there one night. Prodigal son. The first part of the meeting, he sat there with a big smile on his face as much as one. Wonder what this fellow's going to say. But it happened to be the prodigal son that night. Before the meeting was over, his head was down. Because he knew he was the prodigal. He kept coming to the meetings. About 2 weeks into the meetings, I got a phone call one afternoon in the place I was staying. Are you the preacher? Well, I said, I'm having a few meetings in the gospel hall. Is that what you mean? Well, she said, I want to see you at 220 Sydney Street this afternoon. A cold, steely voice of a female. People I was staying with, they said, you better not be down there. That's a bad part of the town. Well, I thought, I'd better go. So I went down. I went up the steps. I didn't realize when I was going up the steps that she had pushed a man down there a year before and broke his neck. Knocked the door. And if I ever felt like running, it was then. It was like Jezebel standing in front of me. She said, come in. I wondered what was going on. So after a few minutes, she came over with a letter. She says, here, read that. Well, I said, this is written to you. It's not written to me. So read it. So start to read. Dear so-and-so. Now, the gist of it was just like this. Dear so-and-so, I've been going to gospel meetings. And I found out that I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell. And I'm going to be there forever. And I don't want to go there. And I know that I can't get saved living here with you in this mess. So when you get home this afternoon, you'll find this note. Well, I said, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to go and get him back again. Bring him back here. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. So she kept on back and forth for a few minutes, and I said, look, the only thing I can do is pray for you. She can do what you like. So I'll get down on my knee, but she wouldn't. I couldn't help but think, there's a day coming when every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. I have to confess to you, I kind of kept one eye open type of thing, you know. I was scared of her. And after I got up on my knees, I said, now listen, you've got to meet God. But she says, when I get to where God is, she says, I'll have a thing or two to say to him. I said, I'm afraid I can't do anything for you. I'm going to have to. I thought to myself, I wonder where George is. And then he's likely at his sister's. So I drove around to the sister's, knocked the door. And I could hear the feet coming down about 2 or 3 pounds down the stairs. When he opened the door, he says, I just got saved. I just got saved. I said, what do you mean, George? He says, you know, he says, I found out in those meetings that I'm a guilty sinner going to hell. And he says, I don't want to go there. And he says, well, he says, I left where I was this morning. I says, I know. He says, how do you know? I says, I read your letter. He says, you what? I said, read your letter. And he kind of didn't know what to say for a minute. Well, he says, I'm telling you, he says, it's a great relief to know. He says, I was in a real mess. And he says, it was holding me back. I didn't know what I was going to do. How am I going to get rid of this? And finally, he says, I just said to myself, my soul is worth it more than anything. And he wrote the letter. He says, I just could see. I want to tell you tonight, God is looking for the prodigal. And anyone that is willing to say, like Job 33 says, if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, he says, deliver that man from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. How can he righteously, justly save your soul and mine and put away our sins? Because his son died for those sins at Calvary's cross. And if tonight you realize you are a sinner, and you want this matter settled, and if you will incline your ear, as we have already been hearing, to the word of God, the Spirit of God will take you to Calvary and show you there's another that took your place, bore your judgment, and when you can say, I know from the word of God that Jesus died for me, that's salvation. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow at the close of our meeting. We thank thee for all those that have come tonight, and we pray, our God, thy blessing upon each one. Grant as they go home that the Spirit of God will be dealing with them and showing them the way of salvation. Then, our God, we'd ask of thee that thou wilt impress on their soul to hear thy word and to listen to what it has to say. And our God, we realize from thy word, and we know from experience as well, that thou wilt never turn away a sinner that's willing to come to the Savior of sinners. We just look to thee now and ask thy richest blessing upon each one as they go home tonight again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn number 132, the time is gone again, so we'll just sing the first verse of 132, there's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone. Now we're very glad to see all came. Come again tomorrow night, if you can at all, and take in what's happening here. Bring your Bible along and see if it's true, because mind you, there's an awful lot of different ideas in the world, and there's people in the world today that will tell you, all you have to do is give your life to Jesus. That's wrong doctrine. And it's damaging doctrine. God wants to give you a gift. Then when you get the gift, then you can turn and thank Him.